Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for, wow, it's already May the 6th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. And yes, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And yes, we love liberty. How about you? Welcome to the broadcast. Quick recap of yesterday's show, then we'll launch into news the networks refuse to use today. The recap starts now. We had our guest on, Mrs. Becky Akers. She's a freelance writer and a historian that's appeared in all kinds of publications. But of course, her greatest claim to fame, Liberty Roundtable Live, continuous guest. She's been on with us for years, doing a phenomenal job as always. BeckyAkers.wordpress.com. You should also know that she's an author. Hailstorm and Abducting Arnold, the revolutionary new novels, buy them before they're banned. She's also Lou Rockwell, columnist, and a whole lot more. Check it out. But we talked about Ron Paul's email, Does Truth Matter? Sam and Becky obviously agree that the answer is a clear, resounding yes, indeed it matters. We talked about the WHO finally admits that PCR tests create false positives. Yeah, December 14th, they released a memo saying that they realized that, you know what, the PCR tests can be problematic. They can create false positives. Did you hear that from your mainstream press? I think not. If the CDC, ladies and gentlemen, was honest from the start, the case count would have been a whole lot lower. And the fear-mongering would have not taken such a great toll on this country and shut everybody and everything down. Looking to get Americans vaccinated, by the way. They're trying to offer a cash reward to give you incentive. Believe it or not, they're also trying to push for the vaccinations. They're offering school credit towards school graduation if you get the COVID vaccine in some places. It's insane. Pfizer, by the way, makes huge profits off the vaccine. Pfizer generated $3.5 billion in the first 3 months of this year alone, ladies and gentlemen. You wonder why they won't talk about ivermectin and other inexpensive solutions, huh? It's all about big cash and control of you and me. Can the jab be forced upon people under current law? They say the answer is a clear yes. I reject that unconstitutional abuse of my God-given rights and my property. My body is my most prized property, if you will. But there's a push for U.S. vaccine passport, and that push is growing because now that Canada announces their own, believe it or not, the G7 global international community looking to push and see how that looks as well. That was Hour 1 of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour 2, we continued with Becky Akers. We talked about breakthrough cases of COVID-19 emerging among fully vaccinated Americans. So, yeah, they're still spreading the disease even after being vaccinated. NVIC.org, that's the National Vaccine Information Center. Very interesting, to say the least. They told you that, hey, once we get this silver bullet, the vaccine, it'll be just great. Well, now they're backing off and lying and betraying and admit everything. The only silver bullet now happens to be, what, beer, I guess? Not a silver bullet either. Both of them are lies, beer and the vaccines, right? We also talked about vaccine passports. They're trying to create a lesser class of citizens, writes Ben Swan, truthinmedia.com for that. I guess he does videos, right, for that video. We also talked about the long shadow of the 1976 swine flu fiasco. Yeah, that should be lessons learned back in 76 when it comes to the corona vaccine today. But they're not learning anything. They're literally doubling down and stupidly repeating the negative reality of history. It is tragic, tragic to say the least. We also talked about AOC, Ocasio-Cortez, whacked out girl, man, New York legislature. She says, or I should say the New York rep, right, on the House side of the federal legislature, right? Anyway, she says, move over Marine Corps. She's creating a climate corp. Or climate corps. So look out, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be bad news for sure. But Joe Biden is literally doubling down on vaccines on one hand and climate change on the other. And those two will be the Achilles tendon to destroy America, ladies and gentlemen, move you into a tyrannical socialist communist slash utopia. Because on Earth Day, Joe Biden pledged a 50% cut in U.S. emissions. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Joe Biden says America represents only 15% of the world's emission. Just under 15%, so not even 15%. If we cut 50%, what will it look like? How much difference will it even make? Will you be able to eat meat? Will you be able to have your AC on in the summer? Will you be able to drive your car? What changes? This is what's interesting. Nobody's drilling into these politicians' statements. If we're going to cut 50% of our emissions by 2030, and we only put out 15% of the world's emissions, what will it look like? What life changes will be required to achieve the goal Joe's talking about? It's more aggressive than any other goal that any other swamp monster has proposed. Biden says this will be a decisive decade for tackling climate change. Biden unveils sweeping climate goals and plans to meet them. Yeah, but the plans are vague enough to where I don't know how it'll change my life. Do you know how it will change your life? Just wondering. By the way, International Day of Prayer is today, ladies and gentlemen. That is the best news I've heard all day. And with that, that's the recap of yesterday's broadcast. News the Networks Refuse to Use starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir, and happy National Prayer Day, sir. Or National Day of Prayer, I should say.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
I think the National Day of Prayer is a huge deal, Kurt.
Amen.
And I feel like when I look through the news, and I don't know if you've scoured the news today or whatever else, yesterday, as I look in the news, there's not very many people talking about it at all. Have you noticed that?
Well, it's because they reverence this whole idea, Sam. I mean, you know, CBS and NBC and CNN, they're probably starting the day off with a special prayer services right there in their, you know, headquarters. I mean, they probably in sackcloth and ashes, you know. I mean these are some of the most religious people you'll ever see, Sam, at the heads of those operations, don't you think?
Yes, and I don't know really how to feel about this, but I think that we need to look at the news, and this is an honest kind of statement, Kurt, and anybody who's not mentioning the National Day of Prayer today or highlighting it or focusing on it, we're going to give it big focus today because that's who we are. But any news organization that's not even willing to tell you that that's happening, I would submit to you is derelict in their duty, and I don't know that I'd use them for news, Kurt. Is there more important news today than acknowledging or at least highlighting, I would say promoting, that it's National Day of Prayer? National Day of Prayer is today. That's Thursday, right?
Correct.
May the 6th. Is there a more important news headline than that? And I would submit to you that there is not a single more important headline, and I'll tell you why. Because not only is it a look back in history about who we are as a nation, we're a Christian nation. We are founded on Judeo-Christian principles, right? Not only is it a look back to the founders who prayed mightily for guidance and success and felt God's presence in the moves they made to secure liberty. But through our history, from that point of the revolution, the world turned upside down, as the British called it, where the Americans won and created the freest country on the face of the earth, all kinds of tragedy and catastrophes in history turned the nation to prayer, to humble supplication on their knees, right on through to today, Kurt. And I submit to you, if we are going to have a bright future, it depends on this very idea of a National Day of Prayer. Now, you know, I'm not really interested in the mandating of laws to force people to pray or anything like that. Don't misunderstand me. But an acknowledgement of God nationally, an acknowledgement of God, and then a voluntary choice to participate and be involved in millions of people across this great land turning to God Almighty in prayer, begging him, you know what? Please protect us. Heal our land. We want to repent. We want to change. We want to do thy will, Father. We want to. And this to me is the greatest solution for American restoration of any solution I can think of. I know it's not singular. I know the solutions, you can't oversimplify. It's not easy. I get it. But I also get that any solution without this prayer component, I submit will fail. And I submit to you that it was that turning to God that is the difference of the United States Revolution and the French Revolution. I mean, theirs was barbaric and destructive and a failure. Ours was incredibly successful. And why? I submit to you because of this prayer principle, because of this desire, as de Tocqueville talked about, when we talk about America's good or great because America's good, this morality is what I'm talking about. And I believe that morality and that passport to spirituality, if you will, starts with prayer, individual prayers to God Almighty. Pray in your closets, pray, okay, to family prayers, to prayers nationwide. We'll come back. Kirk Crosby, Brian Rust, we'll talk about prayer a little bit. We'll also talk about a couple of unique twists that are happening. We got an Honest Money update and a whole lot more. I'm Sam Bushman. For Brian Rust and Kirk Crosby, hang tight. News the networks refuse to use, straight ahead on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, Brian Rust, Kirk Crosby, Sam Bushman on your radio. Honest Money Report starts now. Hi, Brian.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, sir. Hope you are as well. Let's start out and get a gold and silver update, sir.
Well, I started out with a nice prayer as I woke up, so that's a good
start right there.
That's right. So let's see. Gold right now is sitting at $1,796.70.
Okay.
And silver's $2,689.
Okay.
Correct.
Not and a whole rhodium, lot of change, huh?
Not a whole lot of change. Silver's up 50 cents. Gold's up $18 from last week. Rhodium's down 200. So Kurt lost about 200 on the rhodium.
Oh, man. Kurt's going broke, man. How much is rhodium?
28,600.
28.6, Kurt. I mean, you just lost a bunch of, with a garage full of rhodium, buddy, you just lost a bunch of cash, bro.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to move over to crypto, you know, where the big cash is.
Almost got me. Don't dip your toe in the crypto, buddy. Maybe you got to move over to gold. It went up 18 bucks.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And the Silver Eagle silver dollars, where are they sitting, Brian?
They're still $38.
They're not changing?
They haven't changed at all for, I mean, the paper thing. You know, we see that spikes up and down in the paper, but the physical's holding strong. You know, it's interesting to see that the Silver Eagle this year could be quite a shortage and a kind of a even maybe a time where we're not going to be able to get product for a bit because their plan is to change to a new type. Well, the problem is the fact that they, you know, 2020, the mint shut down a number of times trying to, the COVID thing and all that. And so now they're in line to create this new Silver Eagle. Well, this half of this year was the same Silver Eagle. The next half of the year is supposed to come out with a new type. Well, with demand and the shortage and all the ups and downs in that market, the Silver Eagle, we might see $50 on Silver Eagles soon. Who knows? I mean, it's kind of wild.
So what does that mean when you say that, you know, this year might be, you know, what does that mean?
Well, at the production of your 2021s, the first half of that production for that date is low, is quite low. And now going forward, they've projected a new variety, and that's got to come into play, you know, where they're starting to produce those already, and yet they haven't even been able to meet demand on the earlier type. So it's pushing them into a kind of a fix, I guess. And so, but the demand's definitely going to be there. And so that demand's going to, you know, it'll be interesting to just see what products we get, how long it'll take, all that stuff.
All right. I got an interesting headline that I think you guys want to hear. Here's what it says. Democrats unveil U.S. digital dollar legislation. Did you see this one, guys?
I didn't see that. But I mean,
either.
that's got to do nothing but strengthen the value of, you know, I mean, the U.S. dollar. I mean, it's just going to be amazing, you know.
Well, let me kind of explain how this will work just so you kind of understand this legislation kind of an idea. You know, Brian, if you own a gun, we might just have to push paperless currency and reset your American wealth to zero, my friend. Soon to be forced upon you, federal digital wallets with zero privacy. And it is a email from somebody who's pushing their own agenda. They want to kind of sell you something. But they do highlight the reality that Nancy Pelosi tried to sneak through digital wallets into the $2 trillion national debt pandemic stimulus bill. But she forgot to include something else. She pulled it out of the legislation in the last couple of minutes. So there's a draft bill outline concept called Fed accounts. And with a Fed account, ladies and gentlemen, the new, what do you want to call it, government Gestapo, kind of a whatever, will make decisions for you that you may not be happy about. The draft bill outlined a concept called Fed accounts. With a Fed account, the new Democrat Gestapo will give you what it deems you are worthy of for compensation based on a whim. So you've heard of the universal basic income, right? They're going for broke on this baby. Here's the deal. If you're overweight, there'll be prohibitions on your Fed account. No money in your digital wallet will be allowed to be spent on unhealthy food like cakes, cookies, Twinkies. You probably won't even be able to buy meat because you got to use the Beyond Meat talk, you know, stuff now, right?
Wow.
If you own guns, you may be declined because you know what? Your ambitions are deemed non-essential. Not only that, they could go to terroristic, violent, you know, you'd just be terroristically violent, I guess. Hey, if you have a business, if they don't like your business, then no funding for you. Yeah. Anyway, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Pelosi pulled the new digital dollar legislation from the stimulus package. But not long after, on March 24th, Senator Sherrod Brown proposed a new, what do they call this thing? A new digital dollar. And it's, just so you know, it's S-3571. Banking for All Act is what it's called. And Democrats are coming for any wealth that you have, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake about that. Once this legislation is enacted, then, hey, if you're not in their camp, an elitist like them, well, you're going to live on the pittance they hand out for you, your children, and your children's children, and so on and so on. You need to protect yourself by protecting your assets and your savings. Brian, this is where you come in, buddy.
Well, it's interesting. That isn't that Satan's plan, no choice? I mean, kind of thing, just, you know, there's no choice. It's interesting that they're, they, you know, and it doesn't shock me, the fact that they're trying to put something together. I mean, it that's crazy. You know, I kind of worry about the, you know, cash of society, because if it's just a, if it's just a card, perhaps like this or something you have that they can kind of control at one end, now you have a little money, now you don't have any money, and it's kind of, you know, you're in this line, you're not in that line, you can't do this, you can't, I mean, it's, that's where we're headed. It's just absolutely ridiculous, you know, and that's why I've been pushing, you know, a tradable asset would be something in your hand, you know, not something out there, because that something out there in the middle of nowhere can disappear like that with a click of a switch, as opposed to me holding a gold piece or a silver piece or something that I have tradability. And someone, you know, Kurt's got honey. I can go to honey. You can maybe trade this with somebody that's got that, and we can make trade. I don't know. It's just, it's unreal what the government's trying to do. And yet one thing Pelosi did, you know, she, I remember her saying something about, well, we're not passing that bill because we haven't read the huge encyclopedia book or whatever book. But don't read our book. We just want you to pass the laws. We don't want you to know what's in it. But what she wants.
Well, you can know what's in it after we pass it, Brian.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Kurt, what do you want to say about this, my friend?
Well, did you say they were going to call it the Fed? What was it called? Fed? Maybe they should call it Fed Up. I'm kind of fed up with the whole thing like that. You know, and then, you know, that phrase, the thing somewhere out there. Isn't there a song like that? Somewhere out there. You kind of wonder, you know, where your money really is. And like Brian says, I mean, imagine if you, you know, you don't have to look somewhere out there for your money. You just look right there with you. And, you know, you got some dimes and some quarters and some silver dollars. And, you know, I mean, you could actually go back to the good old days, you know. I mean, although, you know, the term Biden bucks, you know, is kind of really, well, I mean, that's intriguing. I mean, just imagine if they made a new, you know, Brian was talking about the problems they're having with the mint, with the 2021 Silver Eagles. They could call it like the Biden buck. Lame duck, you know, something like that, you know, with the new kind of Silver Eagles, and maybe they'd have like a tenth of the amount of silver, and, you know, I mean...
No, don't, Kurt, stop! I mean, Kurt's going to give these guys ideas, Brian, and they're going to actually do it.
Well, I'm wondering if the fact of it is Pelosi looking for some kind of, her picture on some kind of a, I mean, there's like Kennedy's on a coin, or Lincoln's on, you know, Washington... Is Pelosi looking for some kind of picture on a...
Yeah, on one side it would be like Sacagawea. On the other side it would be Nancy.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we could put her on a milk jug, you know.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, Brian Rust, RustQuinnandGift.com, your Honest Money Report, and a whole lot more talk on your radio.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Calling it a monumental moment in the fight against the coronavirus, WHO Executive Director Gabriesis on Wednesday thanked the Biden administration's support for temporarily waiving intellectual property rights and the expenses associated with such rights as an example of leadership to address the global health challenges. Judge Dabney Friedrich of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia has issued a ruling that would revoke the eviction moratorium put in place by the CDC. But the Justice Department is appealing on behalf of the CDC. The case was brought by the Alabama Association of Realtors, which argued that the CDC does not have the power to tell landlords they cannot evict people during a pandemic. The judge agreed. China's foreign minister on Thursday condemned a joint statement by the G7 foreign ministers that expressed support for Chinese claimed Taiwan and cast Beijing as a bully, saying it was a gross interference in China's internal affairs. USA Radio News.
Who's really running the country? Joe Biden? The First Lady? Kamala Harris? Maybe Barack Obama? Already, Kamala Harris is the most powerful vice president in history. All this week, Newsmax's Greg Kelly asked the tough questions about Joe Biden and who's really in charge at the White House. Every night this week, Greg Kelly is on Newsmax giving you the news you need to know. So watch Greg Kelly tonight at 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern and see his series, Who's Really in Charge? Newsmax TV is America's fourth highest rated cable news network. Everyone is talking about Newsmax. Find Newsmax on all major cable systems. If you don't get it, call your cable system. Tell them you want it. Or get Newsmax free on your smart TV. Or tune into Roku, Amazon Fire, Pluto, Zumo, or YouTube. Or just download the free Newsmax TV app on your smartphone and watch us anytime, anywhere. Millions of Americans are watching Newsmax. So should you.
After the death of a child and dozens of injuries, the Consumer Product Safety Commission has announced Peloton has finally agreed to recall about 125,000 of its treadmills. John Clements from the Texas USA Radio News Bureau reports.
After first declaring the $4,200 treadmills were safe as long as all warnings and safety instructions were followed, Peloton has now agreed to the full recall. Joe Mardiak is with the Consumer Product Safety Commission.
Ever since we heard about the incidents and the child death, we have been actively looking at it and talking to Peloton about a recall of the product. They would not agree to it early on, and that's why we put a warning out to the public about it. At that point, we only had 39 incidents. Since that time, in just barely 2 weeks, the number has almost doubled to over 70.
Peloton is also offering a full refund to those who purchased the treadmill.
Peloton was started with Kickstarter funding in 2013. USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back with you live, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com with us. So it's a little crazy. Kurt wants to put Nancy Pelosi on a milk jug. I kind of like that idea, Brian.
There you go. Why not? I think that'd be great.
Drink more milk. Well, sure she's not only lost but found, right?
I was kind of thinking about that, though, and I'm thinking that would kind of maybe upset your stomach when you're trying to eat, you know.
Yeah, it'd be like
that's
curdled
the only
milk.
Problem. Yeah, that might really mess things up. Maybe we should just not have her picture anywhere. I mean, that's the best thing, probably, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately, she does get on the tube a little bit.
All right. In all seriousness, this is a serious matter, though. I'll tell you that right now. And ladies and gentlemen, the National Day of Prayer is today. It is May the 6th, National Day of Prayer. And I think it's really important to focus on that, especially when we talk about money. We talk about the Democrats unveil U.S. digital dollar legislation. You know, Pelosi pulled it from the stimulus package. But you know what? They're pushing for a new pro-digital dollar. And that's what they want to try to create. And I don't know if it'll be a cryptocurrency when we say digital dollar. I don't know what crypto means exactly. And let me explain. Behind the crypto is what they call blockchain. And so will the government use blockchain, or will the government create their own gov chain? Or will the transactions be as transparent as crypto? If you have a digital currency, but it's not really a blockchain, is it crypto? Or is it, you know, what does it look like and what is it? And see, we don't have any details of that. Now, Facebook tried to make their own currency happen. Of course, it didn't work out very well, and I haven't heard a lot about it since. Meaning, I don't know if it's dead or what the deal is. But imagine Facebook in bed with the government. What if Mark Zuckerberg gets with Joe and they take the Facebook currency and turn it into the gov currency? I don't know where this is all headed, and I don't know what the parameters of this would really be. It's hard to redraft legislation and get a handle on reality. What do you think of this, Brian? I mean, this, who knows how detailed this could be, but they say your privacy will be in question. Your money will be controlled by government. If they don't like what you do and say and think, and then, hey, that could be it to the end of that. Imagine mixing vaccine passports with your money. And where does this go? Even the thought of it is scary, sir.
Yeah, you know, I think that absolutely. I mean, it's scary. I think, well, it my thought, you know, the digital currency or so on, that kind of situation puts us all at risk, because at just a click, you know, they're saying they're watching us anyway and so on. But a click, 1 minute you've got money to go on vacation, and the next minute you get to the airport and you've got no money and you don't get on the plane. I mean, do they have that much control of just everything in your life? And that's what, you know, that's the scary part about it, is if we get to a point where there's, you know, we have no control basically on it, and it's just, you know, even at our bank. I mean, I had to go to my bank at one point years ago because I made a deposit that they didn't show. And they're saying, well, we don't know how this, what do you mean you don't have? We have this. So I had to go back and dig through and so on to prove it. See, I don't think we should have to prove that we have the funds, and it becomes a scary thought. Right, and 1 minute you have it, and the next you don't. Well, look at what's that? A Wonderful Life with George Stewart or whatever in that, where, you know, the money was gone, and now the panic. Right? Is that what happens? I guess if we get they kind of dictate, and we're puppets now, and no choice, and all that stuff.
So, Kurt, question for you: they say that the COVID could be the, what do you say, the predecessor, or generate the need for the digital dollar. Right? COVID-19 relief could be the catalyst for the digital dollar, they're saying. What about that plus climate change stuff? You know, if you look at the climate change discussion, you kind of go, maybe they'll use that for climate change, because that's really where the rubber meets the road. When your actions with your money certainly is abusing the earth. And so, you know, it seems to me that two-pronged approach tied to a digital dollar could be the change in America they're looking for globalism, right?
You know, and all I can tell you, Sam, is, I mean, here's maybe this headline will give you a breath of fresh air, because if we could team this up. Anyway, the U.S. News and World Report's got this one. China's digital yuan will not topple the dollar, official says. So, you know, if we could just get the digital yuan with the digital thing going on here, digital Fed, I mean, just imagine. I mean, there's never really any problems with the internet or with your connection to, you know, like places like that. And like Brian says, I mean, what could go wrong? I mean, so what if they lose a little bit of a deposit here and there, and maybe, like you said, you're reset to zero, or in case of maybe you haven't had your vaccine, so you know, you'd start back at like -10,000 or something like that. I mean, you know, it's a whole new world. I mean, think of the opportunities, you know, Sam, right?
Well, hey, question. Let me just jump in there. But if the fear factor, if you're in a fear mode, and they come to you, well, hey, we've got all this money waiting here to give you. You just need to get this shot, or you just need to give us your guns, or you know, do they push us into that kind of a corner? That's my question.
Well, you don't think not that Nancy right away would do something like that.
I don't think right away they'll do that. They know that they can't overreach and push for a tyranny so blatantly, Kurt. But I do think that's on the agenda over time. And yeah. I think that this COVID example that we've experienced is really a shot across the bow for that very point that you make, to where, hey, they know they have the authority. They know the people won't revolt or get, you know, too crazy. In California, believe it or not, there's articles that say, hey, they even had the National Guard standing by when they locked everybody down in case everybody got kind of a little too rowdy. Then they would kind of bring out the, well, troops. You know, this is scary. And I really think that they kind of did the test trial run for this kind of stuff and expect them to continue to, what do you want to call it, breach the barrier of normalcy to see how we react and what we do. And depending on how we the people deal with this, then they, you know, will, what, reset their plans accordingly. But imagine this tied to a digital reset or a global reset. What does that look like, huh?
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I guess if at some point, if they all had a block, some kind of a, well, I don't, like you mentioned, Sam, a blockchain kind of situation, each government, I guess, they could kind of, okay, well, we're here with this click or here, we're going to send you our our money and or whatever it's called, and the yuan would send us whenever we, I don't know. Who knows? I guess that's what each government, it's interesting, no doubt about it.
You know, Sam, I was just thinking about how it's so amazing. Here we find ourselves, where a dollar, the ones that I like, you know, the ones Brian has available there, you have to pay them 38 Federal Reserve notes or the paper, the money that says $1 on them. You have to pay them 38 for one of those. You've got a silver dime, like a Mercury silver dime, you're lucky to find for, $2.50 or something like that. And we wonder kind of what's the problem. Where do we go from here? I've even heard some recent commercials where they're talking about, well, do you think, all this, trillions of dollars being spent by your beloved federal government might affect the value of the dollar and, silver and gold and things like that. And I'm thinking any thinking individual has just got to understand that, it's topsy-turvy. The world is, Sam. And then you got not only America, what else is just crazy busy, too? I know every time I go into Rust Coin and Gibson, I'm pretty lucky because I got it right here close by. But, you could go just give him a call and do that, and I'm sure he can ship stuff off to you, at least when he can find product. But I know, you've got people coming through your doors looking for honest money quite often, right, Brian?
Every day.
Yeah, I know. Oh, it seemed like a little while back you were like, man, folks are piling on trying to get honest money. I think anybody who's looking at the numbers has just got to be going, man, we got to get some more of that stuff around, leave some space in the, freezer so I can fit some silver and gold in there somewhere. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Liberty Roundtable on the Loving Liberty Radio Network. We'll be right back after these wonderful messages.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has got to scare you, but Sam is, away from the mic now, and you're just left with Kurt and Brian here. But frankly, it is nice to hear that beloved intro music. Sam and our buddy Cameron always taking care of things to make sure things sound just, well, okie-dory, I guess you could say, in the old-fashioned phrase. Now, I was going to run this by you, Brian. There's a pretty interesting piece from WorldNet Daily by Bob Unruh that says, headline, Sidney Powell, America is now a communist regime. Subheadline, they're feeding lies to the American people every single day. Now, you know, I think it goes along with the silver and gold discussion pretty well, if you ask me. She's, of course, focused on the election and the lack of, what would we call it, transparency in the recent election. She basically says, she was interviewed just lately on the Talk of Pittsburgh radio program with, they call it the Rose Unplugged show. And she says, the world is absolutely upside down because this country is upside down. They're feeding lies to the American people every single day. Just the fact that they're saying Biden is president is a lie because we've still got to resolve the election issue. I guess the Gateway Pundit says that Powell said, we are living under a communist totalitarian regime. If the voting machine companies had nothing to hide, they wouldn't be hiding anything. She charged that there were millions of fraudulent votes. It goes on from there. But, you know, when you think about the federal government then, or whoever's behind the scenes being in charge of some federal cryptocurrency and making sure that, we all are protected somehow there, I'm thinking, man, you better have some extra doors put in because you're going to have a whole lot more people wanting some honest money, the kind that the Constitution still says, a little phrase in there, Article 1, Section 10 says, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. What do you say, sir?
Well, it's just look how far we've come. I think that, it's kind of crazy as we watch this all unfold, and the wicked media, I should say, out there, not Wikipedia, but the media, the corruption that's thrown forth, they kind of clutter our lives and of what they want us to hear. Kind of, I think of a lot of it, by their fruits ye shall know them. And as we've gone from this, honest money or even, honest, just honesty and truth, you know, we see the fruits that are happening, and we're looking at more and more of these fruits as they want to push out some kind of a digital system, or they want to do this, or they, you know, let us just pay and take care of you, or let us, you know, you won't need to work, you know, there's no work ethic, you don't need that, you know. So it's this huge agenda, you know, and when we come out and we object, saying, okay, well, we don't like where this is going, this is not honest, this is not truth, this is, you know, we want at least some transparency, like you say, we want to see really the results, not you just tell us what you think we ought to hear. And so there's so much of that going on, and kind of, I don't know if this is the answer we're kind of you're looking for, but I think that peace of mind for everybody, peace of mind basically is to prepare, I think, as we prepare. And so that's what I try to tell my clients and so on, is just prepare. I mean, if you're putting a little away, you're planning and you're kind of preparing yourself, you don't have to run to Costco or Walmart or any of those places when there's major panic because everybody's ripping things off the shelves, or even our financial type system, if we're prepared. And so that's kind of what I tell people is, yeah, buy some silver mercury dimes or buy some silver quarters or some silver dollars or things. And you can do that over time. And before you know it, you've got a nice nest egg that you don't have to go wait in line at a bank. Now, yeah, you might have money in the bank, but you don't have to be panicked to get there because you're prepared somewhat. And that's kind of my thoughts.
You know, the older I get, the more I understand that old phrase where they talk about keeping some money in between the mattress or, you know, something like that. You know, you said, look how far we've come. And I was thinking, as far as I know, you know, I'm kind of a big fan of getting those silver certificates. As far as I know, 1957 was the last time, you know, the federal government printed those up. And if you're not familiar with them, ladies and gentlemen, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong on that date, Brian, but anyway, I know when I get them from you, 1957 is about the, you know, the latest that I can find. And it says, ladies and gentlemen, on that piece of paper that looks, you know, amazingly like a Federal Reserve note, but there's some real big differences on it. You know, back then, you know, you could look there at the silver certificate where at the top of our money today it says Federal Reserve note, but there on that one says silver certificate. And then there's this little fine print. You know how the lawyers always tell you, read the fine print. Well, anyway, on those that were, the last ones were done the year before I was born, you know, when you talk about look how far we've come. You know, it says this certifies that there is on deposit in the treasury of, and then it says the United States of America. Now the Federal Reserve note says the United States of America after it says Federal Reserve note, but it doesn't have that fine print in there. And then it's got the picture of George Washington. I'm talking about the $1 silver certificate, you know, versus the $1 or so-called $1 Federal Reserve note. And then down at the bottom, it says $1. And then the silver certificate has this some more fine print. You know, it says in silver payable to the bearer on demand. And it's so amazing whenever I show that, when I get those from you or whatever, and I show those to people, that they look at it like, oh, wow, I just didn't know that. And when you talk about how far we've come, you know, basically in my lifetime, when at that time you could trade one of those paper dollars for a silver dollar, and now you have to use to get one of those same silver dollars, pretty much 38 of them. So you could, what that translates to, you know, pretty close is what, about 2.5 cents, or, you know, not really 3 cents for each dollar now, but you can understand inflation quite a bit. And you can see why the same house that might have been $5,000 back then might be, what, 30 or 40 times that much now.
Right? Amen to that, at least, or more. Hey, by the way, Brian, do they have silver pennies?
They have a steel cent that's in 43, they had a steel cent zinc-coated steel. They didn't use copper then for the war. They pulled that out and put out a 1943 was kind of their, what they called steel sands, or wasn't really a silver. It looks silver, but it's not really silver.
And what's the cheapest silver denomination that they have, a dime or is it a nickel?
So they can get some silver nickels.
Yeah, during the war.
I got some of them, right.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, hey, Kurt, so Kurt, you mentioned the fact of that, and that's the honest truth. See, we want to talk about, if we're honest money and honest truth, that's the honest truth, that you see a paper dollar now, the honest truth is that 2.5 cents or whatever, you know, but your silver coin and that paper at that time could have been redeemed, but then the government wanted to change. Well, do we really have the silver to give them? They didn't. So they're not, they decided they're not going to give you a silver dollar for that currency. So it's easy to see that they could change the rules midway. And a lot of those silver certificates.
How much is one of those steel pennies worth? How much do they cost?
You can buy them for a quarter.
So let me get this right. The paper dollars were 2.5 cents, but the steel pennies were the quarter?
Yeah, there you go. Hey, that silver nickel's worth a buck and a half or so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Sam. So the silver nickels were, what was it, 1945, right, Brian? Somewhere in there?
1942 to 45.
42
How much
to 45.
Is a wooden nickel worth? more than a paper dollar, right?
It depends if it has silver written on it. See, sometimes you just write silver on it. It might not have it in it, but hey, it looks, yeah, there you go. Not just the writing the letters could be a key.
on that silver certificate, I always think it's interesting when somebody, you know, they look at it and they think, oh, I think I'll buy that. And, you know, you can see in their mind, they're thinking, I'm going to go trade this for a silver dollar. And, right. You know, so I ask them when they ask me, if they do, when they ask me, well, can I get a silver dollar from the government for this? And I ask them a simple question. Well, does your government keep its promises?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, amen. Then they don't even question it after that. They don't go, really? Or are you sure? They go, well, of course not. So yeah, they already know. Yeah.
They got the answer right.
The problem is, you know, upon us. Brian, right. This is serious business, this money thing. And on the National Day of Prayer, I just want to highlight, the only way out of this, folks, is to pray to Almighty God, to repent, to turn to Him, and to look at the solutions from that point of view. If we look at it from a God's lens, a lens of the Ten Commandments is our guide, a lens that, you know what, God is the sovereign author of our liberty, and without Him, we're just not going to have freedom. And I think that honest money, honest weights and measures, as the Bible calls it, or weights and measures, requires that we turn to God. And I think obedience to God can bring back this wonderful country where it was only gold and silver as honest money. Brian, final word's yours.
Yeah, amen, Sam. God hasn't changed. His commandments haven't changed. You know, people have tried to change those and so on, but He hasn't changed. So I agree 100%. We need to turn back to Him, pray for a peaceful restitution, what, you know,
restoration.
Yeah, back to
yes,
God.
Sir.
There you go. Restoration. That's the word. And absolutely. I agree 100%.
Now, let's be clear, too. What's interesting is God's money, gold and silver, hasn't changed either, Brian.
Yeah, good point. Great job, guys.
All right, Kurt, you want to wrap it up for us?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, on this day of prayer, we got to pray hard and pray like it all depends on God and work like it all depends on us. Keep up the good work, Brian, and thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Brian. Stay there, Kurt. And ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable live radio program. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use always at your fingertips. 2 hours a day, 6 days a week, and we celebrate the National Day of Prayer. 365 and a quarter days a year. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.